This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Word has it, rumor has it, the hook of free parking, there could be a new addition or two next week, from what I understand.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly what's turned the tables, Pack, the free parking.
We offer
there you it. Have it.
Hey, the least we could do.
That's it.
We don't have any mugs, merchandise, sweatshirts, hats, cool stuff like that, but we will hand out free parking for the terrestrial radio stations.
Yeah. Florida State President Dr. John Thrasher in about 11 minutes on this program, we hope, and over-under still to come in the 9 o'clock hour. One of the amazing streaks of Bobby Bowden's legacy at Florida State is 14 straight years finishing in the top four of the final AP rankings. Top four for 14 straight years. Now, you may recall, well, didn't Alabama do that? Yeah, until there was that year they finished eighth a couple of years ago. And then that kind of moved them on out. That stopped their streak, by the way. And I think they were about halfway there, as I recall, Pac. So now, when you lose someone like Bowden's impact in college football, you start looking back at, okay, if you take today and back it up, what would it be like? Well, here we go. Packer and Durham investigates what could have been for Florida State. 14 straight years in the top four. How many titles would they have won if the current playoff, the four-team variety, existed? Okay? So you know they won a couple. But what about the years 87, 88, 92, and 97? All right, look at those in particular right here. 87, 88, 92, and 97. Listen to the music. We've even got Packer and Durham Investigates music here.
Yeah, it's already giving me a headache, but that's all right. You look down this list right here. I mean, the consistency was just ridiculous, right? When you start talking about 10 win seasons, 14 straight years, 14 straight years finishing in the AP top four. When we messed around with this, you know, keep in mind they had two national titles, 93, 99. They played for three others and lost. I mean, so it wasn't like, hey, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Hey, you got two in your back pocket. Could have had three more. But there were four other seasons in particular were what if, right? You want to play the what if game? That's what we're going to do. And it begins with 87.
Yep. Yeah, 96, 98, 2000. They had a chance and lost. But here we go, 87, finishing the top four. And look what happens. You have 87. You got the year where you lose to Miami, 26-25, and you demolish everybody else. Right?
That Miami theme.
So how would it have looked?
That Miami theme will be consistent in this dialogue here for about the next 10 minutes.
That's correct. Yep. So let's see what the final four would have looked like after the end of the regular season in 1987. Remember, no championship games, none of that stuff back then. You did have the great ball game between the Noles and the Canes at Doak Campbell. I love the jerseys that were tied up with tape, by the way, above the waistline back in the day. Here's the way the playoff would have looked. How about a Miami-Florida State second time through the year match in round one? By the way, that Oklahoma team, or that Syracuse team, is the one that ultimately tied Auburn at the Sugar Bowl when Pat Dye kicked Dick McPherson, Don McPherson, the quarterback of that great Orange team.
Yeah, nothing like kicking a field goal for a tie. That's just great stuff. But you're right. Miami, Florida State, it was a one-point game in the regular season. That would have been a semifinal matchup, a return.
There you go.
Of right. Knowles and Canes. How good would that have been?
Oof. Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's go to 88. See what that looks like. Or I'm sorry, let's go to 88 would be the year. I apologize. AP top four. Florida State at the end of the regular season had the opening loss to Miami to start the year and then basically destroyed everybody else. Three-point win against Clemson. Now, that's your game, Pack. That's the Punt-Ruski.
That was the Punt-Ruski game, which was just sensational. We talked about that a bunch yesterday. But for the most part, you know what? They had their way with everybody. And you know what? There's a reason for it. They were that good. They were that good.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, just, you know, Sammy Smith, by the way, still on that team.
Here's the Gators
you
trying to tackle.
Deion.
Trying to tackle.
Is that Lawrence Dossie in the end zone? Holy cow. Look at these great players. So, Florida State was unbelievable. 11-1. Sugar Bowl game.
Deion.
There's
prime
Deion.
Prime time.
And this is what the format would have looked like.
Ooh-wee.
Irish and Noles in round one.
Ooh-wee.
Nod to our friends in West Virginia, members of the Major Harris team in 88, too.
That's right. Of course, they went on to play Notre Dame for the national championship out in the Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah.
Would have been fun.
So
There's no doubt they would have had a shot. They would have had a chance.
Yep.
Of course, that's the last time Notre Dame has won a national championship, 1988.
All right. Let's jump to 92 here. We'll look at the final regular season rankings. Here you are, the only loss, another one of those Miami games.
And, of course,
this is also when they got their first real taste of the ACC,
right,
too.
This was year one of the ACC. I was at the Florida State-Clemson game, which was a great game. Charlie Ward led a late touchdown drive to win the game on the road, and off to the races they go. But Miami,
This is Georgia Tech game.
It was the third time we put a chart up there where there was an L beside Miami. Canes, Noles.
Georgia Tech game, by the way, was the birth of the fast break offense at Grant Field. And that's Tamrick Vanover, by the way, Pack. I think. Hope I got that one right. Man, how many studs did they have on this team?
Ooh-wee.
Holy smokes. All right. Here's the way it would have set up. Now, remember Alabama with Jay Barker and that great defense, Antonio Langham, Lemanski Hall, Dabo Swinney playing in the slot for Gene Stallings.
That's it.
They won the national title.
You would have had
You would have had Alabama, Florida State in a semi.
Yeah, and again, given Bobby Bowden's relationship in Birmingham and Alabama football, that would have been some kind of semifinal matchup, wouldn't it? That would have been unbelievable.
Yep. Oh, my God. So, there's where that would have been. All right, let's go to 97. Let's go to 97. Because 97 was the, in terms of the format, you see the loss to Florida at the end of the regular season. Remember yesterday we talked about Florida State came in this league and forced everybody else to get better?
Yep.
Outside of the Clemson game, look at the numbers. Look at the numbers of the game.
And I mentioned I mentioned to you that North Carolina team in 97, that was the showdown, right?
Oh.
Everybody was so excited in Chapel Hill under the lights. Noles are coming to town. Mac Brown, a Florida State alum. Was he going to be able to finally, you know, beat Bobby Bowden and so forth? Well, it didn't happen that night. But ironically, you look at that Miami score, 47-0. Don't you know Bobby Bowden loves taking about 44 of those points and stick them in other locations, all those close losses to Miami. But that wasn't the case this particular year because they took Miami to the woodshed.
Yeah, here's Oscar Davenport. I'm not positive. That might be the play he got hurt. But Florida State destroyed North Carolina that night. By the way, that was Mac Brown's team that went 11-1. That was Carolina's best threat to Florida State.
Yep.
In the 90s.
Yep.
And you see how it ends up. Now, Pack, I'm going to ask you this. Michigan-Nebraska split the national title. Would Florida State have gotten Michigan?
Yes. Florida State would have beaten Michigan, in my opinion. But I'm going to tell you. Of the 4 years that we picked, I think that number two ranked team right there, Nebraska, who by the way split national champion, I thought they were the best team. Ironically, when you see that final top four, the following year it was Tennessee and Florida State that played for a national championship.
Right. Yeah, that was Peyton Manning's Is that Peyton Manning's senior year?
No.
97? Or was that 98?
Well, no, it was. 98. T. Martin took it over in 98 and won a national championship.
That's right.
For Tennessee. It was T. Martin, not Peyton Manning, but that was Peyton's last go-around.
Yeah. Yep, sure was. So there you go. How many you think? Three? Would they have won three? Three more in that format?
I don't know if they would have won three more, but I don't think there's any doubt that if the college football playoff was in existence when Bobby Bowden started that incredible run, he won two. He played for three others and lost, but I think Florida State would have won at least one more national championship out of that combination that we just gave. At least one more. They were that talented.
Hmm. Amazing, right? Just amazing. Fun to look back. As you like to say, if, the biggest word in sports.
It's the biggest word in sports.
If they'd have had the college football playoff, Florida State would have been a factor. By the way, it would have been a lot of ACC love. If we took the current roster of schools in the ACC to the 90s, whew, man.
That's where we need to
get it. And now you can see, for those of you.
That's where we need to get it back, though. I keep telling you.
Yeah.
You know, the narrative changes when you win. And when you have teams that are that good, yeah, people aren't asking about your league, right? Yeah, it's Clemson, everybody else. Hey, the only way that changes is when everybody else starts to become that good. When you got multiple top 10, top 15 teams, and that's where the league's got to get back to.
Yep. When we come back on this program, President John Thrasher will join us from Tallahassee. His remembrances of Bobby Bowden. My daughter looks at his signature every day, Pac.
Graduate.
Being a grad and all. Yeah. Back after this, Packer and Durham continues on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. Get asked all the time, why do you guys always call that 9 a.m. the power hour? Well, you know, normally we bring in the heavy hitters in that last hour of the show. And today is no exception, mm-hmm. Wes, as we head down to Tallahassee and bring on the president of Florida State, President John Thrasher. President Thrasher, first of all, we really, really appreciate the time. I know it's got to be kind of a strange time right now in Tallahassee because you got students coming back, but you know the passing of a guy like Bobby Bowden, what he meant to the institution, which goes far, far deeper than football. I know it's got to be a strange time, but there's also got to be a sense of celebration that you had a chance to see one of the best of all time at work at that institution and what it meant to Florida State University.
Well, thank you both. Thank Mark and West. I appreciate it. You're absolutely right. Bobby is, there's no way to describe him. Words really aren't adequate to describe the impact he's had on generations, not just recent, but generations of young men, not just football players, but all over the country. He's had an impact because of his values and his faith that he transmitted to so many people.
President Thrasher, I would ask you as an alum and a graduate in the 60s, you got the full throttle here. You saw the full cycle of football and what it meant to Florida State. It's one of those things where a singular product line really kind of changed the entire concept of a university, didn't it?
Bobby did that. He did. He came on, in 1976. I think his first season he was 5-6, and then after that, the rest is history. But before that, clearly, we were okay in some years, but not too good in some other years. And certainly right before he came from West Virginia, we were in a down spiral. And he brought us back. He brought us back and put the university really on the map around the country. No question about it.
President Thrasher went back in the day now. That old football stadium, even Danny Cannell yesterday said it was an erector set, looked like a small high school stadium. You wouldn't even want to walk through it. And now you drive around campus and you see what that edifice has turned into. And that's all Bobby Bowden, right? I know if he were alive today, he wouldn't take any credit for it. He'd talk about all the other people that made it. But hey, it all started with one central figure, and that was Coach Bowden.
It was. Coach Bowden I obviously transformed football, not only for Florida State, but, you know, the impact he had on football across the country. You know, the willingness, the courage to go out and play the Nebraskas, the Notre Dames, the LSUs on the road, you know, without really any major resources coming back, other than if he went won, which he did many times on those games, Ohio State, Michigan, all of those were road games, and he made a really impact on college football by saying, "Hey, let's go out and play the best teams we can play, and I guarantee you, we'll get better, and a lot of other people will get better."
Preston Thrasher, when you take all the values and things you spoke of earlier, and I'm going to guess it gets a little broad-based here. I mean, you're the chief executive officer of a university in the state of Florida that has a lot of things going on a campus. But yet I get the impression Bobby Bowden kind of spread some of that across the entire campus in his tenure and even post-football. I mean, in his retirement, I know he was still connected to the university in a couple different ways.
Very much so. Very much so. He obviously spoke all around the country when he left coaching on a full-time basis. He was still very active in Tallahassee. Our quarterback club featured him. A lot of other organizations always wanted Bobby at any given time to speak to him. He spoke at churches and places here in Tallahassee, but all over the country, really. And so his impact continued until he got to the point where he couldn't travel as well, but he was still involved in the university, very, very cognizant of what was going on at the university. And I tell you, I had the privilege of seeing him a week ago Saturday, and with Ann and Tommy and Robin, two of his children. And I never will forget that and the impact that he not only had on me as a person, but this great university.
President Thrasher, I think the thing that makes him unique, and not that he's the only one, but a guy that won so many games and championships and all that stuff, and in some respects, that's almost secondary, isn't it? I mean, the fact that faith was so important to him, family was so important to him, and, you know, it wasn't lip service. He talked it, he walked it, and that was what the whole foundation was built upon. And, you know, I think I've found myself, even since his passing Sunday morning, and you look back at all the people that he touched that were football guys, but yet they didn't even want to talk about football. It was, hey, he made me a better person. Mm. The understanding that respect matters, and it's something that we've kind of all lost, I think, in some terms, looking big picture. But I think that's the thing that's so cool about this is that, hey, yeah, it'd be easy talking about national championships and Heismans and a dozen ACC top. It's almost like, hey, that really wasn't even important. The most important thing was treating your fellow man with some respect.
And what? That, no doubt about it. No doubt about it, Mark and Wes. You look at the players that he developed and what some of them are doing today, continuing to do in giving back. Charlie Ward, for instance, could be doing a lot of different things. He's coaching high school basketball right here in Tallahassee, making an impact on young men. And he will tell you, and I know he's going to speak on Saturday, he will tell you that it's largely due to Bobby's influence on him. You look at Warwick Dunn, what he's done in developing homes for homeless folks that needed homes. Derek Brooks and all the different charities and special groups that he supports in the Tampa area. Every one of those players were impacted by Bobby in terms of giving back something to the community. And that's what Coach Bowden was about. It wasn't so much wins and losses. They were important, obviously, to a lot of folks on the front porch of our university and others. But the young men he developed and the young men who are now still carrying on his legacy of giving back to their fellow men and women, that's the legacy, I think, is the biggest for Coach Bowden.
President Thrasher, I don't know the Tucker Center's big enough for Saturday morning. I just don't know. I mean, it's one of those events that, I mean, a lot of people are going to want to be there. I know that.
We're well aware of that, and the family is also. But, you know, whether they come or not, we know thousands will be watching and certainly be there in their spirit and their heart for his great coach and his family. No question about it. But the family's prepared, and they know that the impact this man's had on so many lives. And I think it's a very positive thing for our university, our certainly our state, and I'd say our country. Bobby Bowden has an impact on this great country we live in. And just what you said, if we could carry through his values in so many different ways and venues, our country would be a lot better off, no question about
it. Well, I tell you what, if everybody was Bobby Bowden, we'd be having different dialogues of issues that we need to address, because the guy treated, whether you were the president of the university or whether you were a janitor or whether you were a sports writer, it didn't matter. He was going to give you respect. He's going to give you the time of day. He's going to look you right in the eye and call you buddy and dadgummit, and don't you go on down the road and you felt like you knew him for 100 years. He was a special, special individual.
Took the words right out of my mouth. He was in the hospital last October. My wife was in the hospital, and I went. They were on different floors, and went down to see him. And I walked in because I got permission to do that. And he says, "How, dadgummit, how you doing, buddy?" Just like that. I said, "Coach, I'm doing okay. I just come to see you."
He's something else.
President Thrasher here. Derek Brooks told us yesterday when he was on the Board of Trustees, he kidded with Coach Bowden. He said, "Technically, I'm your boss right now." And Bowden laughed at him a little bit. But I will ask you, in your tenure on campus, what's your best interaction with Coach Bowden?
Sure. Actually, probably it was when I was Speaker of the Florida House of Representatives before I came president. I got to be Speaker, and I got this somebody sent over a wonderful football signed by Coach Bowden to John and Scalpum and Bobby Bowden. And then I got a call a little bit later saying, "Coach really would like to see you." And, man, I was so excited. I couldn't wait to run over there and get to see him and all of that. Met him before, obviously, but not in that capacity. And he says, "I hear you have a lot to do with appropriations. You think you could get me an airplane?" I said, "Well, Coach, we'll do our best. We'll do our best." But we had many interactions after that, and just an incredible man, and so many memories of his incredible life.
You know, when Derek Brooks joined us yesterday and told us the story about being on the board, he said that Coach Bowden said, "Now listen, now you can do whatever you need to do, but let's not get into politics. You just stay out of politics." So
there you go. Well, Bobby did that pretty much, but not totally.
That's exactly right. Well, we really appreciate the time, and we wish you the best. And again, our hearts and prayers and thoughts go everybody down there in Tallahassee. That will be some kind of scene this weekend, no question.
It really will. Thank you guys again so much for promoting the coach and his great values. And we appreciate the great time that you all have given to Florida State. And we love the ACC Network. And thank you both for everything you do for all of us.
Well, it's our pleasure. Thank you. President John Thrasher of Florida State. Be well, sir. The public service for Bobby Bowden is Saturday morning at 9:30. At the Donald L. Tucker Center, right there at the just down the street from the state capitol, ironically, which will also be part of the remembrances of Bobby Bowden. All right, when we come back, more to go in the Power Hour. Been waiting on over-under, haven't you, Pack? I knew it. Road trips at Pittsburgh. I'm going to guess the Panthers might be involved in over-under. Oh, and there's Justin Ross. Huh. Getting some hints on what's over and under next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. Do appreciate President John Thrasher. I believe he's now the second president at an ACC institution that has joined our program, right? President
make
Jim
a note.
At Clemson.
Yeah, we're going to make a note.
Right?
How many you think we can get on this show?
I think we should be able to get every one of them. My answer would be 15. Right. 15. You heard me.
Okay.
15.
All right. I got you.
Hey, you know, by the way, we will be in Raleigh, North Carolina on September the 2nd live. So I'm just saying, open invitation.
Chancellor Woodson.
Got an extra seat. Come on. I have some Bojangles biscuits for you. Let's do it. Can't take them from Tuffy, though. Can't take Tuffy's because I got some extras for Tuffy.
No.
No butter. Just like
can't have a Tuffy. We know we're going to talk to Tuffy. A lot of people are excited for you to visit with Tuffy after great interview that time with Chief Osceola that you had back on radio at the ACC basketball tournament.
I was like, just can you grunt? Just one grunt is yes, two grunts, no, nothing. Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's go to Bristol, shall we? It's time for Over and Under on Packer and Durham. Ladies and gentlemen, the arbiter of Over and Under is Josh Macri. Josh, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Voice of victory.
That's right.
I think if the folks down at NC State catch wind of the fact that you're planning on giving Tuffy biscuits, I mean, you can't feed every hound the same way you feed Chester and Fuller.
Well, I do need to
especially
meet
a young one.
I need to meet Tuffy first, but I told you I will have in my briefcase, I do have a briefcase, I will have a couple extra stash just in case we hit it off. I think we will.
Can't make the dog sick, though.
I hope I'll make the dog sick.
It's exactly right. I was thinking it's opening night. We don't want the dog sick who cannot then be part of the event that evening pack.
It's not a dog. It's a wolf pup. Wolf pup.
Okay. All right.
True. But this is not true or false. This is over under.
Oh, it's over under. Thank you, Josh.
And let's get to
right
it.
Ahead. Number of biscuits Pack will give Tuffy and Raleigh is set
it better
at
be,
two.
It better be zero. It better be zero.
Needs to be zero if we want to continue the show.
Guys,
yes.
I can tell y'all are dog lovers. All right. Go ahead.
All right, guys. At the top of the show, we mentioned that Justin Ross has been cleared to play and expects to make an impact for Clemson this season. Over under, however, 6.5 games where Justin Ross is Clemson's leading receiver this season.
Over. Over.
Wow. I mean, you are all in this.
I think he's the best wide receiver in the league. And if you don't throw it to eight, man, something's wrong. Eight is a problem for all 12 teams schedule.
Oh, yeah. He's a real problem. And if he's 100% opening night,
well, he's going to be good to go.
Dogs are going to see it, too.
He's going to be good to go. He did not play last year.
6.5? All right, I'll go over, but I think it's close. I don't think he takes the top off like 9 of the 12, but I'll go 7. But, yeah, I think it's over. All right, over.
And don't discredit Clemson's other weapons, though, I think, is more so the point.
That's the other thing. See, Ngata, Ladson,
EJ Williams. The tight ends are going to be implemented this year like you've never seen. They've got four of
Davis
those guys.
Allen, Braden Galloway, Jalen Lay, who was a monster at 270 pounds in the spring game. A monster. They put Jalen Lay out there in space,
they got tons of weapons. But guess what? The best player of everybody you just listed is number 8.
Okay. All right. Next, Josh.
Over under 4.5 as the number of quarterbacks who will end the season with 7 or more rushing touchdowns. 7 is the number who did it last year in a shortened season, but only 3 pulled it off in 2019 and 2018. 5 did it in 2017.
Over.
Okay.
Over.
Over 4.5?
Yes. Listen, the voice of victory just told you 7 did it last year. We got 13 returning starters at quarterback. And you're only giving me 4.5. I'll go over. I'll just say, listen, last year was a sight to see, and you're going to get at least 6 or 7 this year. So I'll go over. It's just common sense.
I'm going to say under. I'm going to go under. I think we're throwing rocks this year. I think we're throwing them in the end zone this year. We're not running for them. We're throwing them.
Okay. I mean, 4.5's the number, according to Voice of Victory.
I know. I'm going to go 4. I'm going to go under, but only by the half.
All right. 13 of the 14 quarterbacks starting have experience. So last year the number was 7.
6, actually. My fault. It was 6.
That changes everything.
It's still higher.
I am now under. No.
And by the way, one of them was Ian Book, who's no longer in the conference.
I'll still go over. Still go over.
I'd like to mark these. I'd like to mark these first couple of questions and go back to them at the end, by the way.
We marked all of them, and we never go back to them. By the time
we need to do that, too.
By the time we get to 10:05 this morning, we will have forgotten these questions.
No, we wouldn't. No, no. These two right here, the first two, no. And the third one, I'm interested too.
I haven't even looked at the questions. I can't wait to hear what Voice of Victory comes
I know
up
you
with.
Haven't.
I don't want to know them ahead of time.
Go, Josh.
All right. You won't know them ahead of time. You'll know it now, though. Over under a half of a loss for this year's ACC Coastal champion. Keep in mind, there has not been a team who has won the Coastal and gone through that division undefeated since 2015 when Carolina did it.
Over. Over. Champ's going to lose one somewhere. It is the Coastal, like you said. Over.
Yeah, over. Yeah, over. That division's nuts. I mean, we've already talked about, what, October 16th and all the things that could happen on that singular day. I was doing some reading this weekend. There's more in it, too, than that. There's like a Saturday in November that could have some backwash of what happens in October. Yeah, over. Let's go. Move on.
Okay. So we mentioned running quarterbacks. Wes, you talked about the fact that we're going to be skipping rocks this year. What do you think about Kenny Pickett? He's had 13 passing touchdowns each of the last two seasons. But you expect his production to grow. Will it double in size? Over under 26 passing touchdowns for under. Kenny Pickett.
Under.
Under. Under. Under. He's good. They're good. But their balance, and I think that Mark Whipple said this in our visit, it's really important that they expand the run game. And Paul Zeiss talked about the ability of the offensive line. I think that's the biggest premium Pittsburgh has to answer. They feel good about it, but they got to see it. I think Kenny Pickett, if he throws for more than 26 touchdowns, that means the run game's not going well. Wouldn't you agree, Pac?
100%. And I hope Kenny Pickett throws for a trillion yards. I do. But 26 is a big number when that's exactly what the number has been for two consecutive years. So, big Kenny Pickett fan, don't think 26 is in the offering, but I do think he'll obliterate 13.
Yeah.
In defense of the question, he got hurt last year. His offensive weapons are better this year. So the shortened season combined with the games missed injury, combined with the better weapons, you don't think that makes a difference?
It does, and I'm still going under.
Not to 26. I think they have to be balanced, Josh. I know where you're going with this. This can't be Sam Howell. I mean, it can be. They're not going to touch the ball enough, I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong, and we'll find out early, I can tell you that. But I'm not sure they're going to have games of 10 or more possessions on a regular basis. That's the 10 or more possessions and a half. They may end up with 12 or 14 possessions in a game. I don't think they're an 18 possession type team like Carolina is. Carolina, if they get it cranked up, can have 16 to 18 possessions in a game. Pittsburgh, to me, is a, even if they're very balanced packed, they're more like a 12 to 14 possession team in a football game.
Are we going to mark this one as well? While Josh and Drew are at post show production, are we marking this one as well? To go along with the other 611 that you've had marked that we've never gone back to? I'm just asking.
Just because we haven't gone back to them doesn't mean that they're not marked, Mark.
Oh, I said, hey, nobody's questioning whether they're marked. What I'm questioning is if we ever get back to any of them, like the first one that was marked.
Maybe. All right, guys,
false.
Here we go.
False.
This is not true or false. It's over under. So let's
this
get to the next one.
This is not true or false, Pac.
Right, over under 1.5 as the number of current ACC coaches who will win 150 games at their current school. Of course, the reason we asked the question is because of Bobby Bowden, who won 315 games at Florida State, despite the fact that the NCAA credits him with 304.
What does that mean now?
Do we have a list of where everybody stands or something like
that? We sure do.
You do? Good.
We do. How about this? Look at that, Pac. Huh? How about that?
You ask, you get it. The answer is under.
It's over. No, under?
The answer is under. The 150 is the number, right? Go back to the question.
Correct.
150.
Yes, 150 is the number.
All right, and if you're telling me that Dabo's at 140, he'll blow it out of the water, maybe by this year, and then you're telling me the next closest is Mac Brown?
Yeah.
Mac's got to get to 150. He's at 84? No.
What about some of the younger guys on that list?
What about them? 150 is a bunch, boys. $150. I mean, Dave Dorn's at 55, so Dave only needs 95 more wins. Come on. I'm going under.
Thanks for doing the math, by the way.
That's just for Thanks you. Thanks for doing the math I know that you, for me. I know you were looking at it.
I was looking at it going, blah, blah, blah. Okay. I'm going to say it's not that kind of business anymore. That's the other thing. It's not that kind of business, right, Pac?
I'm trying to tell you. The answer is under. There's one guy on that list that will get 150 and obliterate it. I don't think anybody else will get there.
Yeah.
Man, I hope so. I got to go with him on this one, Josh.
I don't want to. I'm not either, but Josh, I got to go with him on this one. I'm not.
You seemed surprised when he said under initially.
I mean, I was looking at the numbers too, sitting here thinking, okay, Dave Dorn, 95 more wins. Pat Narduzzi's got to go to, Pat Narduzzi's got to get 108. I mean, that's.
Can Dave, first of all,
that's a lot of wins.
Just use Dave Dorn. Dave's that easy math here. Can Dave Dorn, number one, be there 10 years and win 9.5 games every year? I mean, that's hard to do.
It's hard.
I don't care who you are, where you are. 150 is a big number. Just telling you.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Good question. Let's go under for the time being.
You're not really happy
Mark the
about
tape.
That.
We'll revisit that.
You're not.
No, yeah. I don't want to go under. But I also know where we are in this world of coaching, too. I understand where coaching is.
Let me ask you this.
And that's why.
Let me ask you this question. And again, I'm going to pull West Durham here. Can we put that list up on the screen one more time? All right. There's the list of the current coaches. Assuming that we were still be employed in the year 2031, forget about 150. How many of those guys will still be coaching at their current school in 2031? Yeah. That, to me, that's kind of the crazy.
10 years from now. Yeah.
10 years from now. I mean, how many of those guys can sit there and turn around a program or maintain a program that 10 years from now they're still in the business? I mean, it is a different universe in this day and age.
Yeah.
Different universe.
It is a different universe. It goes back to, when Whip Babcock he got a contract extension. He's been there, 7 years now? He's been there since, 2014, right? 7 years at Virginia Tech. I think he's the third longest tenured athletic director, by the way.
It'd probably be funny if we went back to 2011 and gave you the list of the ACC football coaches and see how many are still there, right? Cutcliffe, Dabo.
And Dabo, that's it.
Right? It's two. It is, number one, hard to win. It's, number two, hard to win to the point where you're acquiring so many W's that 150 wins is a monster number. That is a big
number. Yeah, it is. You're right. All right. Quick reminder to you, Friday night, the ACC football road trip goes to Central New York. 7 o'clock, Dallin Cuff, E.J. Manuel joins him to visit with Dino Babers. And they check in on the Orange and bouncing back from a tough season a year ago. And they'll look around the new and improved Carrier Dome as well. Friday night, 7 o'clock, the road trip stops at Syracuse right here on ACC Network. Streaming live on the ESPN app. When we come back, a check of the U.S. Amateur this week at Oakmont.
Yikes.
And Jacob Bridgman's doing some things. We'll check in on Jacob Bridgman and some other ACC players at the USAM. We'll do that next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
There's a little Van Halen, a little dog walking music for 10:05 right after the show. hobbling out there with my one good knee and my one good foot. Should be tremendous. All right, Mr. Durham. I know you're probably going to hit the links at some point in time today. It's probably on the agenda. You and Paul Zeiss.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Not today.
No. I'll tell you what.
A lot going on. We got a preseason showdown on Friday night. We don't have time for golf until this weekend. Dude, we got a preseason showdown.
It's only Tuesday. You got 3 days till you got to worry about Falcons football. But nevertheless, we got some ACC dudes going low yesterday at the USA. I mean, low.
They are working their way to playing the match play portion of this, obviously, at Oakmont. They're using two tracks, Oakmont and Longview Club in Pittsburgh, to kind of settle the stroke play portion of the AM. Jacob Bridgman of Clemson went 7-under-63 yesterday to lead the first round of the U.S. Amateur. Jacob been going low a long time since spring started.
Yeah,
63 at Longview. Alex Fitzpatrick of Wake Forest is T2. Both played the Longview yesterday. The only one under par at Oakmont was Cole Sherwood of Vanderbilt. Now, Bridgman and Fitzpatrick both flip over and play Oakmont today. So there you go.
By the way,
interesting enough, the road trip going to Pittsburgh, but yet no ties to the U.S. Amateur. So that means that Dallin Cuff and Eric McClain will not be part of the U.S. Amateur today at Pittsburgh. But go ahead.
Well, I'm glad, because they should be concentrating on Pitt football. That's why they're there. If they wanted some golfers to go up there, you know, they probably put us on a bus and ship us up there to Pittsburgh with Zeiss. But, you know, the ACC has been pretty good in this tournament, right? Mm-hmm. Three of the last four have walked away with the hardware. And here's our list.
Yep.
And they are all dudes now when it comes to Linksters. They can get it done. So
yep.
Keep your eye on this. It'll be this again. I know everybody's got football in the brain. And, of course, the Bobby Bowden tributes will continue throughout the week. But this will be a story to follow this week for us. ACC at the men's USAM.
By the way, the three USAM winners all have appeared on some iteration of Packer and Durham, radio or television.
That's
Doc
correct.
Redman was one of our first guests. And, of course, Andy Ogletree and Tyler Strafacci have all been on the this here Packer and Durham show, as it were.
That's exactly right.
That'd be
something to keep an eye on this week. I know you got Falcons preseason football. Who you guys got, by the way, this week? What's the
big
matchup?
Tennessee Titans.
Oh,
Tennessee and Atlanta on Friday night.
Is that
sold
out? Is that sold out, that game? Can't get a ticket? No?
I don't.
You have no idea, do you?
I don't think so.
I think it's no earthly idea.
There's some seats available. I'm sure there's some seats available.
Nobody wants to. People want to listen to it on the radio, man. They don't want to go there and waste all that money. Listen to it on the radio for free. Dave Archer, Wes Durham.
Yeah.
Hall of Famers.
That's it, yeah. Yeah, we'll have it for
By
you.
By the way, you're going to have to help my man Dave Archer a little bit. He's got that cold, clammy feeling about the Big 12, given his Iowa State ties. Yeah, he was on our radio show last week. He had the cold, clammy feeling about the Big 12. Just saying.
Yeah. I understand. I'm feeling for him a little bit. There's some concerned folks over there. You host an afternoon show for 3 hours a day. You know.
I do know. They ought to be nervous.
Yeah.
See what happens on that front.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing how that whole thing's died down here in the last week and a half? Seriously. Everybody took a deep breath and went, hey, let's just chill out a second. I mean, everybody's freaking out with expansion ideas and theories and fake left, go right, add them, kick them out. I'll take that one. And you, come on, man. Chill out with all that stuff.
Thank you to Brad Johnson, Paul Zeiss, and President John Thrasher for being a part of the program today. We appreciate their time as always. Thanks to Drew, Josh, and Alex for guiding us through the three-hour tour. Dave Clawson of Wake Forest at 8:30 tomorrow morning. Mack Brown at 9:30.
Excellent.
Highlight a Wednesday edition of Packer and Durham. We look forward to seeing you then. Have a great day, everybody.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.